Welcome to another episode of the Unsolicited Opinion Metal Podcast. My name is Wesley Negron, and that was Rollo Tomasi with the track Mutual Rain from their excellent album, Where Myth Becomes Memory. And for this episode, I have the pleasure of welcoming Vile Rites. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good, man.
Fuck yeah, it's Wednesday night. Well, at least over here, you guys are in the West Coast. How's the weather over there right now?
I mean, it's great.
Yeah, it's like pretty much perfect right now. It's like, I don't know, 70s during the day, just like sunny out.
It's great walking in a nice grassy hill kind of, you know, mood weather. You
know? Yeah.
Excellent. It's always hot here in Puerto Rico. I've been in the West Coast. It's always nice, actually. It's always been.
Yeah. This area of California just has like just very like mild climates at all times. Pretty much just like stays between like 50 and 80 degrees at all times. So it's pretty nice.
Interesting. That's interesting. I don't like the cold, so probably 80s. Low 80s is probably cold for me. So that doesn't seem like something ideal for me.
What is it like out there this time of year?
Well, right now it's not that bad. I would dare to say that it's about mid 80s. It's way too humid right now. And we also had like last week, we had a whole week full of rain. So I think we're kind of getting out of that right now, you know? So
yeah,
nice.
But yeah, but you know, island life. So that's where we are. Awesome. Well, thank
you, man.
Oh yeah. I'm sweating right now. I have to turn off my fan because I don't want it to get in the mic. It's just a full mess, you know, but thank you guys for accepting the invitation. Really excited to talk about Vile Rites and your EP, The Ageless. So before we get into all that conversation, let's talk about the origins of the band and what exactly made you and you know, basically pushed you to get together and start Vile Rites.
I guess I can take that one. Alex here. Basically the name for this band was conceived probably in like 2016. I lived in Portland at the time, and I had just kind of like broke it, like we had just had a band that had broken up called Gladius at the time, and myself and the drummer for that band, who actually drums for Toxic Holocaust now, is their live guy.
Tyler Becker.
Myself and him started this project, Vile Rites, like way back then. And it was kind of like started as like a more like tech thrash, I would say. Mm-hmm. So like it was like six string guitars and a little bit more on the thrashy side. And then in 2000, and we never really even played any shows or anything like that. We had like written some songs and stuff. And then in 2018, I moved down to Santa Rosa, California. And at that point, started looking for members for Vile Rites down here. And it took me like, I don't know, like 2 years or so to find members. But I ended up meeting Aaron a couple times, and we actually like ran into each other at like an Obscura show, I think it was. I was like, oh shit, like, because we were both in like thrash bands down here too, so I was like, oh shit, you're into this kind of music too. And at that point we were like, all right, let's try to jam. So me and him got together and started writing stuff like at the beginning of like right before COVID hit, kind of is when we started kind of actually like getting in a rhythm of jamming. And then fucking COVID happened, and it kind of like we weren't able to like meet up and jam and stuff. So that kind of put things on hold. And then eventually I met Steven, and yeah, it just kind of worked out. Steven was going to school in Arizona.
AZ, baby. Yeah.
Nice. So he moved back here and we all just started jamming. And yeah, just me and Aaron had already written like a good portion of what you hear on the EP. together, and then Steven joined and wrote all his own parts and stuff, and yeah, it just worked out really well. And just pretty much we've just always kind of been on the same page in terms of like as a group, so we've all kind of had the same musical goals, so it's been pretty easy to make things work.
Mm-hmm. And also like getting to know musicians, particularly for this style at an obscure show, it's so fitting. It makes so much sense.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Obscura was one of like the early, like when I was in high school, like a, you know, sophomore, junior in high school, like getting into this kind of music and like extreme metal, like that was kind of one of my intro bands into like more extreme metal compared to like the more thrashy shit that I was listening to at the time.
Right. Right. And how do you go about playing this music and making it sound as big as it does as a three piece, because I would say that's one of the biggest challenges whenever you're playing like technical music and make it sound, you know, whenever the guitar goes into like the lead parts, make the bass stand out there and still make it sound big and whole. Right. So what is that a challenge for you guys, or how do you go about it?
I mean, yeah. We definitely think about that for sure. I mean, I think a lot of it is Steven's bass playing, honestly. And then, you know, I just think we kind of, I don't know, like kind of try to have like a Rush attitude to the band. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. Like each person in Rush has like a recognizable style, and that they're bringing something to the table that's unique. And I think that's kind of what we've always had in mind. And like, for example, like Coroner is another like three piece that's fucking awesome. And like, I don't know, to me, those bands just are inspiring to me. And and I thought we could pull it off like between the strings and rhythm section that we have. So it's been a challenge, but it's, I don't know, I feel like it just kind of, with the way we all write together, I think it just kind of worked out.
Yeah, for like the like solos and stuff, I feel like, for, I don't know, I guess in general, I try to make my bass sound as thick as possible with like overdrive and tons of gains and stuff like that, while still keeping like a low end. And then I guess for like solos, to try to fill in for like a rhythm guitar, it's just like be more chordy and more like low end while like using a lot of the higher notes to fill in the kind of sonic gaps for sure.
Yeah, and I also like the fact that the band sounds very old school with still a lot of new school death metal influences, I would say. And talking about influences, at least bands that I think that you guys sound similar to, it's funny that you mentioned Coroner, because I actually have Coroner listed as one of those bands. I also hear Atheist. Nice. And if we talk about a little bit about the like the modern stuff, I would even say a little bit of the Faceless, for example, like in that technical sense.
Oh, sick.
And you guys also like describe yourselves as progressive psych death metal. And I'm very interested as to why, because obviously there's a lot of prog influence in it, obviously death metal, but the psych part of it, I understand it, but I'm also interested and curious as to why you decided to add that as part of the subgenre that you guys play.
I think, I don't know, I like Steve, like as Steven and I work together, and it's just kind of something we listen to a ton of music all day, and a lot of it is like psych stuff, and just like in general, I think that's been a big influence for at least us two. And then like, you know, that's kind of like the kind of music I grew up on. And I think it just like kind of influenced me as a musician a lot. And also like, I don't know, like, I feel like psych is kind of synonymous with kind of like heady and like, kind of exploring, you know, some like strange ideas and stuff like that. And I think like lyrically, I think is another part of that. Like, you know, like a lot of the like lyrics that I write are like, you know, directly inspired by like psychedelic experiences I've had too. So it's like, I don't know, it just influences the music to me. And it's a way for us to kind of like try to stand out a little bit as, you know, as a band, like, hey, like we're bringing some different influences into this, and and, you know, maybe some that might draw some people in who wouldn't generally like delve into something like that.
Yeah, I mean, we also we're also planning, I guess, in the future sense, is definitely going to be like, it's something that we kind of started looking into after like a lot of the music was written already. So, but we've kind of been like incorporating more and more, the more we jam together. So it's definitely going to be something that's more explored later on, I'd say, with the next releases and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also believe that the music itself is a trip, you know, and the closing track from the EP, Spectra of Forgotten Light, is one of, it definitely starts like that. So
yeah, and that's another thing, like you say, it's a trip. It's like, that's kind of part of it too. Like it, you know, the record, and I think like we put a lot of thought into, you know, the arrangement of the songs and, or like, you know, like in terms of track order and, you know, we really wanted it to be kind of like an immersive experience. And like, I guess in some way I would describe that like trip that you have listening to an album that's really immersive and visceral, as almost like a kind of psychedelic experience in a way.
Right, right, for sure. And about influences, what are some of the influences aside from the ones that I'm not sure if I actually hit hit the nail with the bands that I mentioned, but do you have any collective influences that you say, okay, all three of us definitely agree that this is something that's part of our DNA as a band?
Yeah. I mean, I think all of us are, you know, like, I guess like the old school death metal gambit, like, you know, just the, like you said, Atheist.
Yeah, Atheist for sure.
I'd say Revocation would be like a modern.
Oh, thing. Yeah.
And that's what I was going to say, is like a lot of the, I guess, bands we were listening to, it's like the more modern bands like Revocation and Obscura and stuff like that. And of course, all of us have like a lot of hard ties back to, you know, just like the old school death metal. Like, for example, we covered you know, Stiff and Cold by Gorguts at our first couple shows. So that's kind of, and you hit that nail, like you said, right on the head, because yeah, like we definitely both have, all of us have like modern and old school influences, I guess. And one thing I wanted to do is like kind of bring those things together. And so like the overall like sound of the album didn't sound too modern, but I wanted to still incorporate some like some of those modern influences, I guess.
For sure. And I think you definitely, you know, you went with the purpose right there, because I it sounds very old school, but at the same time you can see that it's a modern band that's actually playing this. So that I love that, because you were able, it's made on purpose, and you were able to pull it off, and that's a little bit hard actually to do. So
yeah. Thanks, man.
Yeah. And talking about the EP itself, it's been getting a lot of great reception. What were some of the challenges that you would say that came up as you were recording an EP during all the fucked up things that are happening right now with the COVID and, you know, not being able to play live and all these other challenges that are just keep popping up every day? What would you say were some of the biggest challenges as you were recording the EP during these times?
They were numerous. like I said, Aaron and I had, you know, had kind of gotten into a rhythm of jamming, like, you know, right before this, and then we couldn't get together and jam at all for a pretty good portion of time. I can't even remember how long it was at this point, but so that really just kind of put a real damper on things for a while. But in terms of actually recording, I mean, by the time, so like, I guess when things eased up a little bit here in California, we were able to, you know, go back to our practice space and all get together and stuff. So we were able to write together uninhibited by anything at that point. But
yeah, I guess we were able to practice super consistently leading up to the recording.
Yeah. And there's like a, I guess a period, like a year, maybe less, like half a year before that, it was like, that was when we were locked down, couldn't meet up. I was in Arizona, so I would have to like kind of come up with riff ideas and try to transcribe the hell Alex was writing from like, you know, 1,000 miles away, which is a bit difficult.
Yeah.
But then by the time we actually got to the studio, I feel like you're well-oiled machine.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I guess in terms of like the struggles of that physically recording, were that like, I mean, we recorded in a, you know, this EP was recorded in like, I don't know, like, I think it was 4 days in the studio probably. So
nice.
So we, you know, we were, I guess we just kind of got in there and got out. But like, for example, you know, we weren't really able to all be in the studio at the same time. So like, if we were recording guitars, like only I was allowed to be there. So it was kind of a bummer that we didn't get to have like a more, I guess like group experience and like all be there for every part of the recording. You know, it was what it was. And, you know, working with Greg at Ear Hammer Studios, it was just, he was, I don't know, he's a really great guy to work with. So, I mean, it felt pretty natural, even though it was a little bit weird.
So you're telling me that you guys weren't able to be together in the studio because the regulations and mandates, or was it something that had to do with scheduling?
No, it will. I mean, I guess the scheduling might have come up had it been a problem, but or had it not been a problem. But yeah, Greg just wasn't comfortable with having like multiple people in his studio in close proximity, basically. So he was just being really, you know, COVID conscious, I guess.
For sure.
So yeah, that was more of his business, you know, his regulation. So at that point you could gather in places with face masks and stuff like that. So it wasn't complete lockdown, but that was just his own standards.
That's actually very interesting, because obviously, you know, I don't blame him. That's the way he protects himself. But at the same time, how that particular experience affects the way that you guys go about the whole recording. And I mean, you guys and an experience in general. So I think these are the things that you kind of like whenever we get out of these whole shithole of whatever has happened since 2020, and we look back to it, it's like these things happened, you know, and everything was affected by it. So it's very interesting. It's the first time I hear this from a studio, from all the bands that I've been talking in these times. So.
Well, and also it should be noted that you know, it's like attached to his living quarters too. So, I mean, and he's kind of working with quite a few bands. So I think it's more of just like a traffic thing for him.
For
and,
sure.
And his, you know, his partner there. So,
yeah,
know, that, I, we totally, makes we're sense. Totally understanding. And,
of course.
And, you know, it was just a respect thing on our end. Like, you know, we didn't have a problem with it because we're stoked to be recording with Greg in general.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I definitely agree. It makes sense, but it's interesting to like, again, kind of look back to it. Like we weren't able to, because of the COVID situation, we were able to be as a band studio and get to regular totally times. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally directly affects like
exactly
daily life. And you're constantly, I mean, like, every day we're constantly like, oh wow, like, you know, like for example, like the mask mandate just got lifted in California today, and it's like like walking around like the store or whatever with your mask off, you're like, oh wow, like I used to do this all the time, now it feels really weird.
Yeah, I can't wait for that to start happening in Puerto Rico, but you know, it is what it is. Now I want to stop talking about the whole COVID thing. I think overall we are tired about COVID topics.
Totally, man.
We haven't heard about anything else in the last 2 years, but let's talk about the positive things. What were some of your favorite memories from the recording sessions?
It was fun, definitely. We like, because we had that little minute long like synth intro ambient thing, mm-hmm. and we like planned on doing that because we just wanted to incorporate some kind of synthesizer in there, but we didn't really have a plan on how we would do it. So it, we did kind of just do it on a spur of the moment thing, like the night before going in, kind of just like fucked around on the synthesizer for like an hour and just made some cool noises. And then we're like, all right, it's ready for the studio. So he's like, went in, made some cool bleeps and bloops in like 30 minutes, like pretty much like two takes, and it was good to go. But I don't know, that was pretty fun to just kind of get a more, just put yourself out there with no preparation, just make something happen on the spot, kind of deal with recording, which is not that common these days.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of, particularly in death metal and metal, like modern metal in general, there's like a, people have lost the perspective about what you should be doing at a studio and have fun with it, right? Like,
yeah,
just explore with noises and just even if it's not going to make a huge impact on the album, if it's just going to be some kind of layer that's going to be hidden somewhere, that's something that adds up to the experience. And most of the best records of all time that were recorded in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, you know, where came up with this kind of experiments, you know, in the studio and kind of come up with weird sounds and stuff like yeah. this. Right?
It's just like little Easter eggs inside of like
exactly
each recording. Like, you know, like when you notice, you know, I find myself coming back to a lot of albums where it's like, and you know, and this is true, like you said, with those 60s and 70s, like a lot of psychedelic rock and shit that was going on. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's stuff that you like, that you don't notice until you're like, 10th listen of the album, because like it's just some little thing that you never really paid attention to before. But sometimes it's like, oh man, that's so cool, like I gotta go back and listen to that again. Like,
yeah,
it's like a treasure that you found within the recording, and like, you know, that like that is extremely valuable. And I think that's where a lot of that kind of stuff happens
for sure. And like the mistakes as well, there's a lot, that's another thing. Metal right now is so perfect and everything's like on time to the maximum, like, you know, you listen to the first few Sabbath records and they were so far from perfect, but that's what made them so great, because they were just playing there. They were playing live. So it's a little bit of a lost art in the genre. I know, you know, there's a lot of bands that they're kind of going back to the whole thing just to make it a little bit more real, but at the same time, you know, there's other bands that still want to sound more modern and they want to have everything, which obviously you don't take anything away from them, but I agree. I tend to like to explore a little bit more, and whenever I listen to a record that you can actually notice that they explore at the studio, in my opinion, it's a little bit more interesting than just, you know, these guys who are completely obsessed with being perfect all the time, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's like, that's kind of one of the reasons why we've sort of avoided categorizing ourselves as like tech mm-hmm. death, mm-hmm. because like we definitely, and that's another thing with like the like psych death, is like it was kind of like a play on that, is like we wanted it to be technical at its core, but like I didn't want it to have that like copy pasted kind of like feel to it. So like, you know, Aaron didn't even trigger his drum kit or anything like that. So it's all like
perfect.
It's done. It's all old school. Like the amps are just mic'd amps, and like, you know, and that's part of the reason why I wanted to go to Greg, because like you listen to the other shit he's done and it's just like it's a full sound and it's like really raw sounding, but he doesn't sacrifice like the articulation of the like the songs and the like riffs and shit, with like, it's not too muddy or anything like that.
Right. No, he definitely gets it. I think you guys did an exceptional job with the way that the album came out, not only the composition of the songs, but the sound. It's old school sounding with modern playing, you know, or modern composition. So it's very interesting for sure. And I think, if you're listening, if you've gotten so far into the interview, you should definitely listen to the Ageless, which I'm actually going to be playing a track after we're done with this conversation. But right now, the next part, it's going to be, hopefully it turns out to be a little bit fun. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to mention some phrases, and each one of you is going to tell me the first thing that comes up to your mind. If you have no comments about it, feel free to let me know. And if you want to expand a little bit about it, feel free to also do so. Okay. We're going to go Alex, Stephen, Aaron. Is that okay?
Yeah, good.
All right. First thing that comes to mind when you hear Chris Barnes.
Just dreads and like, I don't know, just, I just think of those, like his dreads and just like weed, I guess.
just those vocals, man. That last album was just, I don't need to put any more. I'm sure everyone's aware of it. Yeah, that was a just sounds so dry.
I guess, yeah, I'm with both you guys. Just dreads and silly ass vocals.
Interesting.
Getting blocked on Twitter.
Getting blocked on Twitter. That's the whole thing right now. Who should be the next Opeth drummer?
I mean, I think it'd be Steven. That's too hard. Original guy.
Yeah, I gotta leave that one to Aaron.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the original drummer was so sick. And if there was any way that he could rejoin the band, that would be amazing.
You mean Martin Lopez?
Yeah.
Martin or the one on the Orchid or whatever. I don't remember. Was that Martin Lopez?
Was he on Orchid? I don't know.
No, the one from Orchid. I don't remember the name. That's actually the original drummer, but he played on Orchid and on Morning Rise. And then Lopez joined in My Arms, Your Hearse.
Yeah, I guess Lopez is like the tightest one for sure.
He just got the right vibe for Opeth, I think.
Opeth is my favorite band. And if Martin Lopez gets to rejoin the band, I will literally cry. And probably go to every show of their next tour.
After I'll be right there with you, buddy.
we'll all just follow him on tour.
Yeah.
that's another influence that we didn't even talk about. Like when we were talking about that earlier, that's huge for us as well.
I bet. I can also listen to you know, I could get that Opeth is an influence on you guys. I think, you know, maybe we can follow them by playing with them on tour. That would be awesome.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Michael, hit us up, dude.
Yeah, right. Opeth is the band that I have mentioned the most at throughout my whole pod, like all the episodes. At least I mentioned Opeth at least once every episode. So
yeah, I mean, not sound like a fan, but just so much to talk about.
Right.
That's definitely like my biggest influence bass-wise style for like, Wild Righteous is like Orchid and Morning Rise, Johan de Farfalla.
Oh, yeah.
Name wrong, but his bass lines are just so damn gassy and smooth.
Yeah. I mean, I personally prefer Marty Mendez, but I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I mean, Martin's right a beast too. And like,
yeah.
Doing it the longest now.
I was able to interview him last year, and that was one of the most nerve wracking situations I've ever been in.
He sounds like a tough one to interview. Does he talk much when seems like quiet.
So it was interesting because we are both Latino, right? So and we had to do the interview in English. So we had to like kind of communicate in English. He was actually really good. Like and also we were not talking about Opeth, we were talking about his other project, White Stone. So we kind of like
that.
Yeah. It's very interesting. If you haven't really got into the band, and this is for everyone out there, if you haven't listened to White Stones, you should definitely check him out because you will actually understand that he's a bigger part of the whole Opeth composing process than you would think. Because there's a lot of Opeth stuff in White Stones, which makes sense. He's been in the band for like almost 30 years now. So, but yeah, it was awesome. And he was able to answer these some questions and some internal questions I had about why he did a death metal project when Opeth stopped playing death metal. But
yeah, that's cool. I'll have to check that out.
So next thing, first thing that comes to your mind, what are what are the TV series you guys are watching right now?
I just finished Seinfeld. Now I've been watching 30 Rock actually.
Nice.
I started 30 Rock. I never actually finished it.
I've tried it a couple times too, but
I guess technically it's been like an ongoing thing, but Buffy the Vampire Slayer has been like my
interesting my mission lately.
Just good old fucking 90s cheese.
Nice. Aaron, are you watching anything?
Yeah, I've been watching a Curb Your Enthusiasm a lot.
Nice.
And, and like David. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is like always playing for me.
Nice.
I just finished The Office 2 days ago for the 16th time.
Oh yeah. Absolute machine.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about getting back to that.
Oh yeah, do it. I will probably give it a rest for like, well, right now I'm actually going to watch the hardcore fans episodes that last like almost an hour and have exclusive footages.
But wait, yeah, is that like a recut or something, or is it like a
remake? it's Peacock. Since they moved the series to Peacock has like exclusive footage that was never shown on TV.
Oh shit, that's awesome.
Oh, man. That's sick.
Yeah, and it's great. It's a lot, you know, because it's the first season, and the first season tends to be a little bit slow. But yeah, I'm obsessed with that show. I can actually quote like probably everything. It's a little bit worrying, actually. And last one. What, first thing that comes to mind, what is the most anticipated event of 2022 for each of you?
For me, it's honestly, it's hard to say. Oh, actually, I got to say Maryland Death Fest. I'm going to Maryland Death Fest. I'm stoked for that. I've never been.
Nice.
I'd say like an event I'm going to probably be, I don't know if you're the band King Gizzard and Lizard Wizard, but
are you going to Red Rocks?
No, we're in the city, but they're playing in Berkeley. They're doing a 3-hour marathon show in I think October or something.
I am going to Red Rocks to see that.
Dude, fuck yeah, man.
I want to see a show at Red Rocks.
Dude, yeah, King Gizzard's definitely like my recent like obsession kind of.
Oh, fuck yeah. Dude, we need to talk a little bit more. We need to keep talking. I am obsessed with King Gizzard. Like,
dude, it's hard not to be. I feel like once you get into it, you start going to the forums and it's just over.
And that's the thing I haven't done, because I'm pretty sure if I get to a forum, I'm just gonna lose everything and I'm not going to be able to do anything at all. I have about 5 of their records, and every time I find like a vinyl record from them, I have to get them.
Dude, same, man. Do you have a favorite record from them?
It's hard because it depends. It really depends on my mood. And as you know, King Gizzard has a really vast, weird catalog. I could probably say that my favorite, well, actually, Polygon Wonderland is probably that one.
Yeah, that's my favorite as well.
But Infest, the Rat's Nest is, it was my first. I got into them super recently, like in 2019, and you know, a psych band doing a thrash metal album.
Yeah, dude, that's so the kind of energy I like right there. And Polygon Wonderland is like a prog psych album masterpiece.
So good. And two drummers by that time it was just so fucking good.
Need a second Aaron.
Yeah. How about you, Aaron? What's the most anticipated event of 2022?
I don't know. I'm pretty stoked to see Obscura. They're like coming through town pretty soon. I'm excited to see what their new lineup is like. You know,
awesome. And maybe you guys can share memories from you guys meeting
at the same first reunion.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm looking forward for that King Gizzard show. I'm pretty sure I'm going to lose my mind and probably gonna be physically exhausted for almost a year after that.
Yeah. Are you flying out then, right?
Yeah. I'm probably gonna fly 2 days out before and then 2 days after just to rest up a little bit. But aside from that, I'm really looking forward to have to know when Porcupine Tree is going to announce their North America dates, because that's a band that I need to see before they split up again or I die.
So. Yeah, I never got is Steve Wilson still in Porcupine Tree?
Yeah. Actually, the only one who's not. Apparently, they haven't announced why, but the only one who's not in the band is Colin Edwin, which is the bass player.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but they just released a few months ago, they released a new single. It's so good, so good. And Gavin Harrison is my favorite drummer. I'm a frustrated drummer, so I'm always looking at drummers. and Gavin is definitely my favorite, and he's just a beast.
Nice.
I saw him play with King Crimson, so that was amazing. Awesome, guys. Well, that was the end of that round. Thank you so much for your answers. Now, tell me, what's next for Vile Rites? What's happening in the next few months? Are we getting a full album, full length soon? Touring stuff? What's happening with the band?
Plans-wise? We're writing right now. As soon as we finish recording, we're basically already had like a song and a half for the full length. So we have basically a handful of songs, like skeletons. So we're still deep in writing. So we're not like ready to record by any means, but we're hoping basically to release kind of like maybe 2023, early to mid 2023, hopefully either be releasing or going into studio or something. So yeah, it'll probably be a while before we're ready to record again, but yeah, definitely open to touring. We don't have anything in the books right now. We're kind of working on some stuff that I it's too up in the air to even mention. So hopefully we'll at least be seeing some West Coast action in the next 6 months, and then who knows, I guess we'll just see what happens after that.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get to have you in Puerto Rico sometime.
That would be sick.
That'd be amazing.
For sure. Let's talk about it. We could probably make that happen sooner than you think. Now, if anyone wants to go ahead and listen to the Ageless, where can they find more info on the EP? Where can they listen to it? When can they follow you in socials?
Our main social media outlet is going to be Instagram. So for all that merch announcements and shit like that, hit us up there, and then everything's available, all of our merch and physicals and digital downloads and stuff like that are available on Bandcamp. And then of course, if you just want to listen to it, it's available, it should be on all streaming services, Apple Music, Spotify, all that good stuff. So pretty much anywhere you go, if you type in Vile Rites, the Ageless, something should pop up, hopefully.
Awesome. I'm going to leave all the links in the episode notes. So if anyone wants to go ahead and follow them, just feel free to visit the episode notes and you'll see all the links right there. All right, guys, it was a pleasure talking to you. I hope that you guys have as much success as you can have. I love the EP. It's a great, great and well done EP. I am really looking forward to what's coming next, and hopefully we'll be able to not only meet in person, but also get to see you live soon. And always know that you have a place here with in the podcast. So if there's anything you need, feel free to just hit me up.
Awesome,
man. Yeah, thanks for having us, dude. And of course, thanks for your support and your kind words about the album, man.
For sure. Well, thank you so much for being here, guys. Again, if anyone wants to follow Vile Rites, feel free to go to the episode notes, and I'm going to leave you with the track "The Ageless." My dreams on the waves. that was Vile Rides with the track The Ageless. Make sure to check him out. I also want to correct that Rural Tomasi's track is actually Mutual Ruin and not Mutual Rain. Now we stay in the United States with Aboria and the track The Thorn.
Inside my mind and within my bones.
And that was Aboria with the track The Thorn from their self-titled album, which is now available on all streaming platforms. Now, we move to Sweden with Terzavel and their track Moving On. We'll be right back. That was Thurzeville with Moving On from their album To the Orphic Void. And we have reached the end of this episode, but I don't want to end it without thanking you for listening. Remember that you can check all the info around all the bands played in this episode by visiting the episode's notes. And you can also follow Unsolicited Opinion Metal Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And now we stay in Sweden with Mass Worship and their track Revel in Fear from their amazing album Portal Tombs. Thank you again for listening. Have a good one.